The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts, Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على ختم الأنبياء والمرسلين إمام المتقين سيدنا ونبينا محمد ذي الخلق العظيم وآله وصحبه والتابعين والتابعين لهم بإحسان وهدى إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وارزقنا اللهم الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى الحمد لله. We're continuing to look at the hadith Qudsi from the collection of 40 sets of 40 hadiths of Sheikh Al-Allama Yusuf Al-Nabahani rahimahullah ta'ala, and we reached hadith number 24. So in hadith number 23, we looked at the importance of the rahim, right? The relations of family, right? And that the rahim, the womb, literally holds on to the divine throne, right, and says and begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, for its rights. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, are you not pleased that I an asila man wasalaki, are you not content that I connect those who can connect you, and I cut off those who cut you off, right? And this applies to there's a silat al-rahim, there's a rahim al-haqiqi, which is family, right? But, and that's the direct rahim, but there's other types of sila that are akin to the rahim. Amongst them is the Uhuwa, is the fraternal relations. There's the rahim of the jiwar, the connection of neighborhood. There's also the connection of ilm. The connection of ilm. Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu ta'ala said, al-ilmu rahimun bayna ahlihi. Knowledge is the connection, right? The connection of mercy, right? The rahim between its people, right? Is the basis of relation between people. But it has those rights, right? Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib said, man 'allamani harfan sirtu lahu 'abdan. Right? Whoever teaches me even one issue, I am eternally a servant to them. Right. And all of these have their rights. So we reached hadith number 24, which is on Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال قال الله عز وجل إذا أذنب عبدي ذنبا فيقول اللهم اغفر لي ذنبي يقول الله تبارك وتعالى أذنب عبدي ذنبا فعلم أن أن له ربا يغفر الذنب ويأخذ بالذنب. ثم عاد فأذنب فقال: أي رب اغفر لي ذنبي. فقال تبارك وتعالى: أذنب عبدي ذنبا. فعلم أن له ربا يغفر الذنب ويأخذ بالذنب. اعمل ما شئت فقد غفرت لك. رواه مسلم. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if my servant commits a sin, or if my servant commits any sin, and they say, and the servant says, Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi, O Allah, forgive me my sin. Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi. Allah Most High says, my servant committed a sin, and he knew that he has a Lord who forgives sin and punishes for sin. وَيَأْخُذُ بِالذَّنْبِ, and who punishes sin. So Allah recognizes, right? And what is the recognition? That the servant has iman. That the servant has iman. وَيَأْخُذُ بِالذَّنْبِ ثُمَّ عَاد. And then the servant goes back and فَأَذْنَبَ and commits another sin. And says, O Lord, اغفر لي ذنبي. O Lord, forgive me my sin. And Allah Most High says, my servant committed a sin and knew that he has a Lord who forgives sins and punishes for sins. Do what you wish, for I have forgiven you. Right? Related by Imam Muslim. So there's a few lessons that are learned from this. The first is that seeking forgiveness is an expression of faith. Seeking forgiveness is an expression of faith. Right? My servant knows that he has a Lord who forgives and punishes. Right? Who is merciful and just. Who is caring, but who is also exacting. So, seeking forgiveness is an act of faith. Secondly, seeking forgiveness is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, seeking forgiveness is expressive of one's servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fourthly, that seeking forgiveness is not negated by falling into the sin again, but rather, each time one commits a sin, one renews one's seeking forgiveness and repentance. Why? Because change takes time. And we understand from this that remorse and regret are not in itself sufficient to change. Change can take time. And it is by the continuity of regret, remorse, repentance, seeking forgiveness, and going back to it, that one establishes one's the sincerity and trueness of one's regret and remorse, and Allah manifests the facilitation to leave the sin. Right? And, right, so the manifestation of the forgiveness may take time. So Allah accepts the repentance and the seeking of forgiveness even by the one time. Right? The sincere repentance and the sincere seeking of forgiveness is accepted. But one is successful in repenting and seeking forgiveness when one establishes one's sincerity and trueness in it. Right? So one does not lose hope. This hadith, of course, shows that there are different expressions of seeking forgiveness. Because in the first one it says, Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi. The second says, Rabbi, ya Rabbi ighfir li dhanbi. And it's not specifically necessarily this expression. It's whether it's with this expression or other expressions. But these are two of the sunnah ways of seeking forgiveness. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi or Rabbi ighfir li dhanbi. And when the divine name Allah connotes majesty, right? Rabb conveys mercy. Because Rububiyyah has the aspect of care and concern. Hadith number 25 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الله عز وجل يوم القيامة. So the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم related from Allah Most High that he says on the day of resurrection, يَبْنَ آدَمْ مَرِضْتُ فَلَمْ تَعُدْنِي. O son of Adam, O child of Adam, I was sick and you did not visit me. So the servant will say, يَا رَبْ كَيْفَ أَعُودُكَ وَأَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. How can I visit you when you are the Lord of the worlds? قال أما علمت أن عبدي فلانا مرض فلم تعده أما إنك لو عدته لوجدتني عنده. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds that did you not know that my servant so and so was sick and you did not visit him, and had you visited them you would have found me with them. You would have found me with them. يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِسْتَطْعَمْتُكَ فَلَمْ تُطْعِمْنِي. I sought, O child of Adam, I sought food from you, and you did not feed me. Allah, and the servant says, يَا رَبْ كَيْفَ أُطْعِمُكَ وَأَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. How can I feed you when you are the Lord, the cherisher, the nurturer of all the worlds? قَالَ أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّهُ إِسْتَطْعَمَكَ عَبْدِي فُلَانٍ فَلَمْ تُطْعِمْهُ أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّكَ لَوْ أَطْعَمْتَهُ لَوَجَدْتَنِي أو لَوَجَدْتَ ذَلِكَ عِنْدِي. Did you not know that so and so of my servants sought food from you, but you fed him not? Did you not know that had you fed them, you would have found that with me? يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِسْتَسْقَيْتُكَ فَلَمْ تُسْقِنِي. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O child of Adam, I sought drink from you, and you did not give me to drink. قال يا رب كيف أسقيك وأنت رب العالمين. The servant says, O Lord, how can I give you to drink when you are the Lord of the worlds? قال استسقاك عبدي فلان فلم تسقه أما علمت أنك لو سقيته لوجدت ذلك عندي. رواه مسلم. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds that my servant so-and-so sought drink from you, and you did not give them to drink. Did you not know that had you given them to drink, you would have found that with me? And either in terms of reward, or in terms of divine good pleasure, or in terms of divine presence, you would have found that with me. So there's levels of finding from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finding reward, finding His rida, or finding presence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rahu Muslim. This of course highlights the spiritual consequence of service. Why do we visit the sick? For Allah. Right? But visiting the sick, these are three actions are high. Visiting the sick, feeding the hungry, and giving drink, giving water to those who don't have it, are powerful ways of finding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through serving His creation. And these are three things that one should strive to make a regular practice. Feeding, but particularly the needy. Right? And this, there's those who are needy because they're impoverished. Right? They're impoverished. They're in famine situations, or they're in crises or disasters. And one should strive to have regular charity that one gives to those who are without food. Where they're most desperate, but particularly in one's area. And one should have a goal. Right? One should have an intention that we should be striving collectively to eradicate poverty, right? That leads to hunger, that leads to distress, that leads to sickness. Right? It's mentioned visiting the sick, feeding the hungry, giving water to those who don't have water. Right? So that we should be striving, it's a collective obligation to strive to facilitate medical well-being, facilitate health. You know, the preservation of life is one of the maqasid of the sharia. And the preservation of life is by the prevention of the harm to life, which is sickness, but and particularly the widespread diseases and so on that can be averted through access to medication, access to proper health and sanitation. That's a clear collective obligation. And these are things that one should be part of. Right? One should be assisting those who are facilitating medical assistance, health, access to basic health care. One should likewise, and why does one do it? Seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You would have found that with me. Okay. Feeding others, likewise. Both those in desperate situations, those who are homeless, those in one's own area, and one should set goals in these. Because these are the things that we compete for. People compete for dunya. That okay, I got my starter home, now I get my dream home, and then I'll get my fantasy home. And all you're left with is a nightmare of in your life, right? But we strive. فَفِذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ As Allah said. In that, let those who strive in good. Why? In seeking closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereby, out of trueness of concern. But also, there's many sunnahs related to feeding others. The blessedness of an event is to the extent that the poor and the needy are invited to it, whether it be a wedding or another social occasion. So to include those who are not normally connected to through family or friendship or community. Right? So a blessed Eid gathering, for example, is not just one where one invited the immediate family, but one went out of the one's way to connect those who are in need, right? And when you have 25, 30 family members, you have a few people come, people really don't care because the marginal addition is insignificant. Right? But those are ways that one connects people. And there's people who do that very beautifully. Right? One should strive to have these traditions. That anytime one has any kind of gathering, to deliberately connect to those who are fed. Or when there's large events, often there's leftover food. Where does that go? Sometimes perishable food, you can't take it to a food bank. But if you don't know people who don't have enough food, it means that you're not living social concern. You should always know families, individuals, single people, students, others who are in the situations where it would be helpful to them to drop off some food. And all of these things, right, so that food is not wasted. Providing water is another of those critical things. We have a lot of people in Canada, particularly almost exclusively native reserves, who don't have access to clean running water. And that's something that, it's a collective obligation for us morally that requires our concern and our attention. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who realize these meanings. And then the next hadith begins with mention of the divine beholding, and we'll look at that tomorrow bi-idhnillah ta'ala. We'll read briefly from Ta'lim al-Muta'allim. On the adab of a seeker of knowledge. And where did we stop? Page 10. Well, it depends on the edition. Amma tafsirul ilm. So we're still looking at the introductory chapter, right? We talk about what is knowledge and the types of knowledge, but then what is the definition of knowledge? Right? And some ulama said knowledge is one of those things that are so clearly known that it does not require nor accept definition. Knowledge is what defines other things. And it itself is so obvious it doesn't accept definition. But he says, أَمَّا تَفْسِيرُ الْعِلْمِ فَهُوَ صِفَةٌ يَتَجَلَّ بِهَا لِمَنْ قَامَتْ هِيَ بِهِ الْمَذْكُورِ كَمَا هُوَ. As for the definition of knowledge, it is a quality by which the one who possesses it clearly, sees clearly the mentioned as is. Right? So knowledge manifests or discloses the known as it actually is. The thing that is mentioned. So if you say ruku', the one who knows ruku' is the madhkur, the thing mentioned, as it is. Right? Which is why the scholars of logic will say that knowledge is either tasawwur or tasdiq. It's either conceiving of particular things, which is through their definitions, or understanding arguments. But what does knowledge do? Knowledge uncovers. Right? Sifatu tajalli, some say sifatun kishaf. It uncovers. Right? It makes clear. And that's why knowledge has been called a light. Because without knowledge, things are unclear. So they're either in the darkness or in the shadows. But knowledge is like a light because it shows things as they are. So that's the definition of knowledge. And then Imam al-Ghazali goes through a number of definitions in his book of knowledge, of also of knowledge as practical knowledge, beneficial knowledge. And fiqh, right? Fiqh, he says, وَالْفِقْهُ مَعْرِفَةُ دَقَائِقِ الْعِلْمِ مَعَ نَوْعِ عِلَاجِ. Okay? Fiqh, right, which refers to deep understanding, is to know the subtleties of knowledge with some acquisition. Right? With some acquisition, with some capacity. Right? Because fiqh is deep understanding. But it's not, fiqh is not just to know a lot, but to be capable of understanding things, right? With a certain capacity. Right? So this is the general sense of mean of fiqh. Fiqh is deep understanding, to know the subtleties of things. قال أبو حنيفة رحمه الله تعالى الفقه معرفة النفس ما لها وما عليها. Imam Abu Hanifa said, when asked what is fiqh, what is religious understanding, he said, fiqh is to know oneself, what is for it and what is against it. It's to know yourself, your nafs, to know who you are, and what counts for you and what counts against you. And by fiqh, al-fiqhu fi al-deen is deep, beneficial understanding of religion. Which is why they said al-fiqh is ilmu al-tariqi ila Allah, knowledge of the path to Allah, or ilmu ma yuqarribuka ila Allah, knowledge of what draws you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And waqala al-imam Abu Hanifa, and he also said Imam Abu Hanifa, mal ilmu illa al-amalu bihi, knowledge is only acting upon it, meaning true knowledge. Al-ilm حقيقةً, knowledge in its reality is acting upon what you know. And والعمل به ترك العاجل للآجل. And acting on knowledge is leaving the immediate for what lasts. وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the next life is better for you than this life. This is the way of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. لا أحب الآفلين. I do not like things that perish. فينبغي للإنسان أن لا يغفل عن نفسه وما ينفعها وما يضرها في أولاها وأخراها. Therefore, it befits a person that they not be heedless of themselves, and what benefits one and what harms one, in their this life and in their next life. فَيَسْتَجْلِبُ نَفْعَهَا, so that they draw to themselves all that benefits, that truly benefits oneself. وَيَجْتَنِبُ مَا يَضُرُّهَا, and one avoids all that harms it. كي لا يكون عقله وعلمه حجة عليه, lest their intelligence and their knowledge be a proof against them. فيزداد عقوبة, and thus they increase in punishment. نعوذ بالله من سخطه أو من سخطه وعقابه. We seek Allah's refuge from His wrath and punishment. They say, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ جَهْلًا أَنْ يَصُرَّهُ مَا يَضُرُّهُ. It is sufficient ignorance for a person to be pleased with what harms them, or to be content with what harms them. And he mentions, when he talks about high himma, high resolve, right? He said, لَأَسْتَسْهِلَنَّ صَعْبَ أَوْ أُدْرِكَ الْمُنَى. I will consider even difficulties to be easy, even if I face death.
وقد ورد في مناقب العلم وفضائله آيات وأخبار
صحيحة مشهورة لم نشتغل بذكرها كي لا يطول الكتاب. And it says, and there has come in the virtues of knowledge and its praiseworthy qualities many verses and sound reports that are well known. We have not busied ourselves with mentioning them lest this book become too lengthy. And then he begins in the next chapter with intention when one learns. But here, since there are verses and hadiths on the virtues of knowledge, we're going to look in the next lesson just to mention them, some of the key verses on knowledge and some of the key hadiths on knowledge, بإذن الله تعالى, and just comment briefly on them. بإذن الله تعالى وصلى الله على حبيب المتعال سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the U.S.